good. Yes! And surely that's the goal!
Hello again, everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Sensible Sunderland, where we will be bringing you reaction to a very good, some would say surprising win at the Hawthorns against West Bromwich Albion. You will notice straight away we are a little bit lighter tonight, as it's just me and Lee this week, as Dan and Mark are currently away facing trial for historic war crimes. But I think the biggest difference is going to be we're actually going to be reporting after quite a positive Sunderland result. I know we had the win over Cardiff a few weeks ago, but you know, I think we can all agree that was very quickly soured by the Blackburn debacle. So I think it will be nice to actually, you know, speak with a bit of positivity this week.
It hasn't decimated me weekend for once, so I'm pretty glad to be on here talking about something different than being beat.
Nice, isn't it? It doesn't have to make a difference to your Saturday, does it?
Oh, like it's not even just a Saturday. It's the Sunday going into work on the Monday. It's just like I say, it's just nice to enjoy a weekend for once and not be in a foul mood.
I forgot what it felt like, to be honest, but here we are. Let's not beat around the bush. I think we were, you know, very heavily helped by the West Brom sending off. I think, you know, the game, I think we said in our group chat, it was only going one way before that sending off. I think we looked a bit sluggish, and West Brom very much the better side. But I mean, talk about shooting yourself in the foot with that sending off. What was the lad doing? Two bookings in a minute.
It was so stupid. Like I say, I can't wrap my head around, because the challenge on Clark was bad enough to then go and leave your foot in. To be honest, I think it could have been a red card just straight off, not two yellows, but to leave your foot in on Dan Ballard. And don't get us wrong, he wasn't the only one that did target Ballard like that. But yeah, just totally stupid. And like I say, it paid dividends for Sunderland.
Yeah, I think, again, another interesting point there on about how he wasn't the only one to target Dan Ballard. I think that was well and truly where we won the game yesterday. I think I couldn't understand it. I mean, yes, I know there's obviously all the Josh Madger stuff, and I know there's a bit of a target on Dan Ballard's back for what happened in the reverse fixture. But to me, if I was a West Brom fan, I'd be thinking, well, you haven't played the game there. You've played the occasion. I think they were that sort of wound up, and they were that kind of preoccupied with trying to leave one on Dan Ballard. They just forgot to play the game, didn't they?
For where they are in the table, I'm not sure how comfortable they are in the playoffs. Whether there's teams kind of just looking to try and beat them to it, but like I say, they didn't come to just get the 3 points and leave. They came almost as like to sacrifice Dan Ballard. Let's get him injured for the rest of the season going into next season. By the way, they were going on. It was just totally a bizarre game for a tackle that was accidental in the reverse fixture. I know. Obviously, it pretty much ended Myers' season, but I don't think he went out to hurt him purposefully.
No, I mean, we know Dan Ballard, don't we? And you know, you can just tell there's not a malicious bone in his body. It kind of reminded me of, you know, when who was it, the Stoke lad who broke Aaron Ramsey's leg. And I think he had that reputation everywhere he went, didn't he? Everyone saw him as a bit of a thug and everyone was out to get him. But at the end of the day, like you say, there was nothing in that tackle in the reverse fixture. It just goes to show how just an innocuous challenge can lead to something as serious as that. But I think, as we've said, I mean, the game was only going one way. I can see why he didn't really change it up. I think in terms of the team that he put out, it was exactly the same team as he put out against Leeds United, which, to be honest, I don't know about you, I was a bit worried about at the start, because I thought they'd be... I mean, they did some running on Tuesday night, mind. I thought we would be very leggy going into the game.
I agree with you. I thought we would either made one or two, but the team who went out against Leeds and, you know, really fought for that draw deserved to start. I don't think it would have been fair on any of them to be dropped. They ran themselves into the ground and they did it again on Saturday. But like you say, it wasn't so much what we were doing out of possession, because we were very, very good. It was more when we were in possession where I thought it showed how tired they were, because there was loose passes. You could see there was some leggy tackles going in, and it was just a difficult, difficult first 45 and last sending off.
I mean, you know, look, coming off a win, I don't want to be negative or waste time kind of, you know, throwing players under the bus, but you're on about how there were times where we looked a bit leggy. What did you make of Job? Because I watching him again, I feel like this is just the slagging off Joe Bellingham podcast, but like, I just feel like he's an 18-year-old lad, but he plays like he's got concrete boots on.
To be honest, I think we gave him a very, very difficult job, especially after the Leeds game. Go up against the size of those defenders for West Brom. And to be fair to him, he never stopped running. And I know we're saying he struggled a bit and he looked like he had heavy legs, but he didn't stop running for that match. And especially the first 45, he was just chasing shadows. So I don't really want to be too critical of the team after that. In fact, after the last three performances, I think if you look at them in isolation, to get 5 points out of those three fixtures, I think we need to be a bit more positive.
You're right. I am playing devil's advocate to some degree. But yeah, you're spot on in terms of how we've reacted, especially since the Blackburn result. I mean, even going before that, we weren't conceding many goals, and it just felt like that was a kind of freak result in isolation. But one of the things that I think I said on a previous podcast was Michael Beale, when he was brought in way back when, it was to kind of shore us up defensively and stop us conceding certain types of goals. And I dare say now we are kind of, seeing the fruits of that come to fruition, really. Because like you say, defensively, we just look absolutely spot on.
I mean, we've kind of had to sacrifice the free flowing football that we've seen over the past couple of seasons to get that defensive, solidarity back. Which is a bit of a shame in itself, because like you say, we don't look anything like the team that we were under Mowbray this time last year. In fact, we look at a million miles away from us. So yes, I like to see us keeping clean sheets, because obviously if you keep a clean sheet, you haven't lost. Yeah, you pull up a couple of 0-0 draws like we have over the past week, but then you get these 1-0 wins, and I'm not going to call it lucky, because realistically West Brom were their own demise. So yeah, like I say, good defensive performances. We've nicked a goal, and to be honest, we'll get on to the finish soon, but won't go by it. Where the more we keep defending in this manner, and to be honest, I'm quite happy to see us go three at the back, because I think it's our best formation. I think the for the centre-backs that we've got, like I say, you've got Ballard, 09, who are ever-present, unless they're getting banned. Alessi is coming back, and I think, to be honest, since he's come back, he's been a really good performer. Serkan, when he does come back, will be that left wing back role. Hume was obviously your right sided wing back. I thought even Styles had a good game. In fact, it was his best performance in a Sunderland shirt without a question. So yeah, I think on the whole thing, that formation suits us better. We are more defensive, and we not conceding goals. All we need is a couple of things to click up front, and I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, he was, I mean, going on about Styles there, I think he was my man of the match yesterday, to be totally honest. I think, especially considering how poorly he's been rated in other games as well, it was nice to kind of see him come through that. And you were kind of watching him yesterday thinking, all right, okay, so this is why we've got him in, really. Like, you can actually see there's a bit of promise there.
The thing I will say about Styles is as well, like, I don't think he's a left back. Like, as mad as that sounds, because he played really well there. Like, I don't know what it is with Mac. I can't. It's a bit of a similar situation with Bar, where I can't figure out his best position. Because sometimes he'll play in that position, he'll play really well, and then the next game, I feel like he plays in the same position, and he has a stinger. There's no balance. But like, he doesn't like get like sixes. Fives or sixes, sevens, you know what I mean? You get your 8 or a 9 or a 3 or a 4.
Yeah.
It's such a strange predicament for Styles.
But I mean, going back to when you're on about the three at the back, I think, yeah, that probably does suit us best at the moment, simply because, we've said a lot of times this season our midfield, it's been quite easy to just essentially walk through. And I think it definitely gives the midfield a bit of a safety net, knowing that they've got the three behind them. We've spoke long enough, we haven't really got onto the goal yet, but one man that I think we've all been critical of on the podcast for so long, our good friend Pierre, What a little finish, eh?
To be honest, it's a striker's goal, isn't it? Like, we're used to seeing Ekwa like absolutely rattle the back of the net. And to see him just do what he did is like, it's just a totally different goal from him. Again, I don't think his performance was the best in the first half. But I'm not going to rip him to shreds for that, because he's won us the game at the end of the day.
That was it. And then, you know, we were all saying, I mean, the goal came at, you know, the perfect time, really, right on half time after the sending off, and it changes the, you know, perplexion of the rest of the game. But I mean, going into that second half before the sending off, I was kind of thinking, why, you know, we can't persist like this. We're just getting run ragged. But then, like you say, everything changes with that sending off and then the goal, because second half, you were just thinking, just keep it as it is, keep the ball. And yes, I think West Brom, when it got to, say, 70 minutes, I think they kind of thought, well, you know, we're 1-0 down, we've got nothing to lose here, let's just go for it. And I think they did pick up a little bit, but generally speaking, it was a very, very composed, mature performance from everybody, I think.
I was surprised he didn't change it up at half-time once they'd gone a man down, because I thought, like you said, even with the man down, I still thought they had more control of the game. So I thought he would have put like another man up top and gone back to the 4-2-3-1 we like to play, just to get that pressure off us a bit and allow us to get up the field. But I mean, it worked. So fair play to Dodds. Like I've been very, very critical of Dodds over the past couple of months. So like you say, credit where credit's due, because he's stuck with his formation. He's brought it back. I think we played it against Leeds in the first fixture. He's brought it back. It's working. We've managed to get a win now. And overall, we've actually played very, very well. And like you say, he deserves all the credit for it.
Fair play to Dodds. And we've said on previous episodes, the way his second caretaker tenure is gone, we were saying a couple of weeks ago, we feel it's very much time for Mike Dodds to be shown the door. Has your perception of that changed, Lee? Because of the last couple of results, or are you still very much in the camp of we need a change? This should be the end regardless.
Say I think we need a change. Just on the fact that any manager coming in is going to want to bring his own staff, somebody who he trusts, somebody who has the same kind of methodology to him and has, you know, comes up with these ideas together. I don't think Dodds or Proctor, I'm not saying they don't deserve it, but I think they've had the chance and they haven't pulled up trees to get another crack at it. So I would be very, very reluctant to see them stay on going forward.
What's your thoughts on the managerial situation? And what are you still thinking? Will Still, is he still your man? Or
don't know the bounds of it. It looks like West Ham are going to get rid of Moyes.
You know, for a brief second there, Lee, part of me thought you were going to actually say, should we get him in? One last dance, as we say.
Not a chance. Not a chance. I've never felt so disillusioned being a football fan. Like usually I watch like multiple matches a week. Like even today I've watched both the Liverpool and Arsenal games. But when we were under Moyes, I couldn't watch any football. It was bad enough having to go and watch Sunderland all the time. To then try and watch something else was just totally not what I was about at that point. I just couldn't face football at that point.
Yeah, sometimes when you're going through a bad patch like that and you watch a genuinely good game of football, it is like watching a different sport, isn't it?
Oh, it's not even that. It's just, it was so disheartening that season because he's such a dour man. I mean, like we brought it up the other week when he mentioned he was going to backhand some woman interviewer. Yeah, there was everything about that season that just really like tore the love of football out from me.
I always remember sort of early on in that season, I think we got beat off Crystal Palace, I want to say, at home, and we were 2-0 up with about 20 minutes to go, and we just totally just caved in, and I think they got two quick sloppy goals, brought back the 2-2, and they got a free kick in the last minute, and I think everyone just collectively knew what was going to happen, and we got beat 3-2 in the end, and that was when I knew there wasn't going to be any great escape, there wasn't going to be what we've had in previous seasons, this was it, like, this was the goodbye, it's going to be the long goodbye, like. But saying that, I also remember in the reverse game against Crystal Palace, which me and you both went to.
We smashed them 4-0, isn't it? Or 4-1?
Aye, 4-0 at half-time, and we were singing Who Needs Allardyce When We've Got Davy Moyes. But I tell you, we needed Allardyce, Lee.
Us, Sunderland.
We needed Sam Allardyce, that too.
Again, though, there's there's almost like similarities between the Allardyce season, the Moyes season, and what we're going through now, because we were on such a high under Allardyce. It suddenly just goes around in these cycles.
Yeah, and I think we're all, as a fan base, we're all acutely aware of that, aren't we? And I think that's where a lot of our, you know, some might call it overreactions kind of stem from, because we've seen things happen and we know what is patterns in things and the way things play out. And I think that's why we're always so quick to like call things out. What to other people might seem like, you know, a little bit of an isolated incident, I think we are able to connect it to like a bigger picture. And yeah, I think that's why we're always so suspicious of, you know, anything that doesn't really fall within what we expect as fans.
The Michael Beale appointment is obviously the most recent example of that, because, like I say, we've seen these dour managers. There's been Parkinson, there's been Johnson, there's been David Moyes, Coleman, forgetting his name, the manager who we had when we first went to League One, Jack Ross. Didn't mind Jack Ross as much, but that turned sour eventually. It was just a matter of time. Like I say, we know these managers. We've had so many of them over the past, I would say, 20 years, since before Quinny, I would say, goes far as. And it's just, we can see them a mile off, the bluffers.
Yeah, you can't bullshit a bullshitter, as they always say.
No.
You know what I mean? And I think that's, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, Jack Ross was one of those where I always remember thinking, like, at the time, it felt like that season, at the time when you were kind of going through, because there was always that chance that we could have gone up, I think everyone just kind of got on with it. But when you kind of look back now with a bit of hindsight, you look at the squad we had, man. We had Brian Oviedo playing full back. We had like Lee Cattermole, do you know what I mean? And we didn't really, I think we were in the top two that season for like a total of 2 days. So obviously, you know, three good results in a row if you're counting that Bristol City 0-0, which I suppose, you know, in the grand scheme of things, when you total it with it, when you put it together with these other two results, I think that Bristol City result is not a bad result. Where do you think that leads us on Saturday? What are your predictions and thoughts going into Millwall at home?
Say, I think Millwall have picked up some really good results recently as well.
They won yesterday. They won the big Cardiff 3-1 yesterday.
So, like you say, I mean, Millwall are always a bit of a shithouse team, and they can either come up, pump you, up a height kind of team. But I don't know. I'm feeling a bit more confident. It'll be a good indicator of how we're going to go on for the rest of the season.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we've said part of the problem that we've had is that the players' confidence has been at rock bottom, and that's more damaging, I think, when you have such a young, fragile team. Whereas now, realistically, I think as a team, we should be looking at it now and thinking, right, okay, we've come out of that now. We actually do have a bit of momentum. Let's just carry it on. So I think, yeah, there'll be a total different vibe going into Saturday's game. And I think as well, another thing which, you know, some people have actually picked up on is the fact that yesterday's result means that we are actually mathematically safe as well. So personally, I never had concerns about relegation. I know some people did, and it was kind of looking over the shoulder a little bit. But I think that does make a world of difference, like knowing that no matter what happens, like we can't go down now.
Like you see, I mean, for me, I would like let the shackles off a bit. And just go for it. Like I say, if you lose, you lose. As long as you're not getting hammered 5-1. But
can't do another 5-1 at home, like.
No, definitely not. But like you say, for me, and it ties into a question actually that's been sent into the Twitter page. So this is from Richard at RichSouth72. Can we keep the same formation for the last three games, or is it too defensive? Should we play more attacking as the last three games is against teams below us?
Well, personally, I would just play all four strikers. Why not? You know what I mean? You might as well. Like the season they've had, just I would literally just be saying to them, look, lads, get your boots on, get out, go and score. Just go and get us a goal. One of yours, please, for the love of God.
Like I say, I suppose it depends on who's actually fit. Because, like you say, we've had so many injuries this season, back to front. You know, I don't think Royson's back.
Well, there's talk that he wants to be away. He wants to, I mean, he hasn't settled, but I think, again, it might just be paper talk, but you can kind of sense that, can't you? He's never really settled. Like, even, I think, back to the goal he got at Middlesbrough and his, he might just be a shy lad, but like his celebration, you could tell he didn't really feel part of it, and you could see like the lads like 09 and that were trying to like, you know, get around him and like
force him to the crowd and that.
But I mean, yeah, but to be fair, like I don't begrudge him. You know, he's a young kid, he's come to a foreign country and it just hasn't worked out, like, so at the end of the day, he leaves it my blessing.
Yeah, like you see, I mean, if sometimes these things just don't work, you know what I mean? I mean, I know he's just getting his family over and everybody thought he'd be a bit more settled after that, but then he's getting injured and he's back out of the team again, and he's been, it's been like that all season. He's just been in and out and in and out, and whether it's through form, through injury, it just really hasn't worked so far. And I might be wrong, he might be still there next season and he might hit the ground running then once he's had enough time to settle in. But that for me just hasn't worked out, and considering how hard the club worked to get that deal done, it must be really disappointing for the club as well.
Well, he was the one, wasn't he? I always remember in the summer, he was the one. I wouldn't say we didn't really have any long drawn out sagas, and I just cast my mind back. I might be wrong, but I feel like the Roosen deal was done relatively early, like in the window. But I remember
it took ages to finalise it, didn't it? It seemed we had the deal agreed, and then it was just trying to get all these visa and obviously the countries in war at the minute. It just took a lifetime to get it over the line. I think it wasn't done until like the last couple of days.
But I like to say sometimes things just don't work, and it's not particularly anybody's fault. It's just the way it is. So I wish him luck. I mean, if we can guess, I think you said yourself a couple of weeks ago in our group chat, if we can get anywhere near the money that we paid from, which granted wasn't that much anyway, you know, it's kind of like nothing lost, nothing gained really, isn't it?
I think going back to the question about keeping the formation the same, I don't think I would change it too much. I think three at the back works, but I think what we need to be doing is getting on the front foot a bit and getting the ball down and passing it. Because like you've said over the past couple of weeks, and I even thought this on Saturday, is the team looks so scared to make that mistake, because obviously Sunderland fans are passionate. We jump on people, rightly or wrongly. So yeah, I think three at the back works. Yes, it is defensive, but I also think going into the rest of the season, it's the right player just to try and restore some of this belief in these players.
It's one of those things, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If it's working, like, stick with it. I think the dynamic changes a little bit, though. Like you say, it's all well and good, you know, kind of doing it against Leeds and West Brom, games where we all thought we were going to get beaten. I think there'll be a bit more demand for us to, you know, kind of play out and take the game to Millwall on Saturday. But we'll see how it goes. Like you say, though, I'd much rather kind of play it safe and just try and maintain that confidence that we have built up after such a difficult season and just kind of see it through to the end. And then, again, speaking too soon, and we don't know what the summer's really going to be, but, you know, if we can kind of go in the end of the season with just a little bit of momentum, you know, it gives us something to build on for next season. And I know it sounds really cliche, but like they always say, you know, good teams are built from the back. And like you said, we've stopped conceding goals. So if we can, you know, if we can get that down to a T and then just know going into the summer, right, we need to focus on getting a bit of our suave back and our, you know, our kind of nice play. That's got to be the goal, surely.
Yeah, 100%. So I've got one more question here from Ross. This is at Ross Robson. He says, is it the most Sunderland thing ever to keep 5 clean sheets out of 6 games, but the 6th game was where we conceded 5 goals? And to be honest, he's probably not far off on that, because
yes, that is the most Sunderland thing ever, I can confirm, yes.
Yeah, like you see, I mean, it only us could have such a positive goal difference. I think at the time it was the only positive thing about Sunderland was our goal difference. And then we get absolutely spanked off Blackburn. And then, I mean, I think we're still +2 or something. But
going into the game, when I saw the league table yesterday, I actually did have a moment where I thought, Christ, is our goal difference only +1 now? Because like you say, at one point it was like +11 or something.
Yeah, yeah. At one point we were doing really, really well. Because like you say, over the season, our defensive record has been pretty good. We've only lost by the odd goal here and there. But like I say, I think I mean, we lost to Southampton 4-2. Fair enough, Southampton, you know, they come down with possibly one of the best teams in the league. But, like I say, I can forgive those, that 4-2, but I'm still struggling getting over that 5-1 against Blackburn. Like that, that's really, really hurt us, and I imagine most fans feel the same way.
Yeah, it goes to show, though, that, like, kind of the vibe around a club is everything, because if you remember back to last season when everything was, you know, rosy and we're all having the time of our lives, we got beat 5-1 off Stoke as well, didn't we? And I don't remember, other than the kind of the Alex Neil factor where everyone was a bit pissed off the fact it was Alex Neil.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody kind of reacted in the same way with the same, like, anger than we did when Blackburn did it the other week. But again, that just goes to show that, like, momentum and positive is everything. And that is, to me, why we need to, I know we're saying it ought to be the most sullen thing ever if this happened, but we need to stop thinking like that, really, because that will ultimately transfer down to players, really. Well, one bit of positive news as well that's come up over the last day or so, and I think it's been very well received on social media, is Sunderland's partnership with Hummel. New kit supplies for next season. Obviously, Sunderland and Hummel have quite a bit of history, really, you know, really going to play the nostalgia card, really, and bringing out the kits. They've already said that they're going to bring out they're going to remake the yellow third kit, I think, from 1993, I think it was, which had never been sold before.
I think it was also, on the deal, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they're also bringing out the 1992 FA Cup final tracksuit jacket, which I don't know if you saw, the players had it on yesterday. It is an absolute cracker of a jacket.
Yeah,
I think he's always taking this out of me in our group chat, because, like, I do love a good kit, me. Like, I have a ton of summer kits that I've just bought, collected. So this was, like, really exciting news to me. Like,
no, like I say, I mean, I think the Red Rice, or I remember correctly, it was a 5-year deal. And on the back of that, I'm so sick of seeing these generic templates that, you know, like Nike and Adidas do, and it's just the same format, different colours depending on who you support.
Yeah.
I'm sick of seeing that. And I think with Hummel, we're going to get something a lot more different. Like you say, it might be a bit retro. By all accounts, the away kit next season is going to have the ship badge on, which that's, I think, good. You know, I think it's just something a bit different. And I'm really happy to say that back, to be honest with you. But yeah, like you say, really, really good, positive stuff from the club for once.
Yeah, we back at the commercial side, don't we, for good reason. We've all said, like, we still ran, things might have improved slightly on the pitch, but off the pitch, we still ran very much like a League One club. So, you know, credit where credit's due. We rip the piss out of the club often enough, but when they do something right, I think it needs to be applauded. And this, to me, is very much a step in the right direction.
So, Steve Davison's replacement, I think it's David Bruce. I feel like this has got a lot to do with him, because I think Steve Davison was just way out of his depth.
Yeah, I think, like, say, David Bruce, from what I've read, he's worked over in the MLS. So, you know, the Americans, we say what you want about the way Americans view football, but I think one thing that they have spot on is, like, the marketing side of it and the commercial side of it in terms of, like, giving people what they want. So, yeah, it's a very, very positive step. And, I mean, you're on about Steve Davison. He's obviously gone. I don't want to keep bringing him up. But, yeah, if you... rumours it to be believed, he was obviously at the centre of the whole Black Cats Bar debacle. And although he, I don't believe, was a football fan, I think a lot of his family, if it's to be believed, were black and white. So I think if it had been in his hands, next season's kit might have had Newcastle Brown Ale as a sponsor or something. Like, I don't know. But, like, say, I'm just glad we don't have to worry about that anymore, really.
I think the proof will be, it'll all come out when it comes to supply of the new Hummels kits and training kits and stuff like that, because obviously last season was an absolute, it was a shambles, to be honest with you. I think if they can get the supply line right, which, to be honest, I can't say us having any issue with Hummels, so I think if they can get that right, I think people are going to love it. I really do. I think, like you say, especially people of our age and above they're going to absolutely love that retro kit.
Yeah, retro is in, isn't it? Not just with us, but I think like just across football, like everyone loves a good retro kit. Like every club does it. One thing I will ask you, just, you know, to end the episode a little bit lightly, what's your favourite ever Sunderland home kit and what's your favourite ever Sunderland away kit?
Oh, so I think I answered the home kit the other week. I like the, I can only think of Darren Bent in it, but the crest, it had like the shield behind the badge.
Yeah, the shield behind the crest. It was a good one.
Absolutely loved that home kit. And I don't know why, I think it was just simply for that shield on the back of it. Away kit. There's been some good ones.
Been some shite in all mine, but there's been some terrible ones.
There's been some terrible ones. I always like the, and it didn't matter which season it was, but the Vaux kits. I couldn't pick out of them. I thought they were just very, very nice kits, weren't they?
Yeah. And a lot of them obviously were supplied by Hummer, weren't they? So that's why I think everyone's a little bit excited. But I think, you know, I'm very much a fan of that whole Hummel Vaux era. And I just personally, for away kits, I love a white away kit. So I think we are due one. Like, and obviously one of the most famous kits we've ever had is that 92 cup final white kit.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed we'll see a bit of a remake of that.
It'll be nice to just see an original kit being made for Sunderland.
Not something you see also being worn by like a Sunderland League team in like slightly different colours. That'll be nice, won't it? Getting back to it, it's a very positive step by the club commercially. Obviously, twin that with a good result on Tuesday against Leeds and an even better result against West Brom on Saturday. Brings us nicely to Millwall next Saturday. Hopefully, we can keep the momentum going. We'll also be back with another podcast. Dan and Mark might be back by then, who knows? I think it all depends on how good an excuse Dan can give about having all that Zyklon B in his garage. Fingers crossed though, next week we can bring you yet another win to help add to the momentum. Thank you so much again for just taking the time to listen to us. And if you don't already, you can follow us on Twitter at SensibleSAFC or by searching for Sensible Sunderland on Facebook if you're a dar. Tell your friends, tell your family, take care, and we'll see you soon in a bit.
Goodbye.
Deep one again. Watson is right in there.